Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day to each and every one of you. And I worked really hard to come up with a joke about St. Patrick's Day, but every single one was a stereotype of the Irish, and I refuse to tell a joke that involves stereotyping anybody or anything. So the best I could do was come up with a story about a snake, because St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland, right? And once there was a snake and he had a problem. He was getting on in years and he was having seeing problems. So somebody said, well, why don't you go to an optometrist? So the snake crawled into the optometrist's office and told him what was going on. And the optometrist said, it's okay. And he fitted him with a pair of glasses. And he sent him off saying, why don't you come back in a couple of weeks? Let me know how it's going. Well, 2 weeks later, the snake came back. And the doctor says, well, how's it going? He said, really not good. And the optometrist said, well, I don't understand. Aren't the glasses working? He says, oh, yeah, doc, the glasses are fine. But I'm so depressed because wearing them, I found out for the last few months I've been sleeping with a garden hose. I promised Jan before the service that I was going to tell my lamest joke yet. At your service. Well, our topic today is Jesus the Messiah. So let me open with this statement. Jesus is the Messiah because he died on the cross for your sins. Well, that doesn't exactly sound like unity, but that's intense Christian orthodoxy that is held by the overwhelming majority of the almost 1.5 billion Christians that are in the world. And I think it's important just to spend a minute or two trying to see how that came to be. And so we go back to the time shortly after Jesus was on the earth. And there were more and more followers that were getting the message about Jesus. And as the numbers grew, the number of opinions started to grow as well in terms of who exactly was this guy that we're following. And so just as there were many Jewish sects, there began to crop up many Christian sects. But they weren't called Christians at that time. The opening group that followed Jesus was simply known as the Way. But again, as the numbers increased, so did the opinions. And there was this ongoing debate, this argument, because a lot of people held that Jesus absolutely was the Son of God. And therefore, absolutely, completely divine in nature. And there were other people who said, no. Jesus was an incredible prophet, an emissary of God, but absolutely human. And then there were some who said that he was both. And this is a debate that would continue literally for hundreds of years. And it wasn't until the Council of Nicaea that was convened in the 4th century. That all of the bishops, and yes, in a couple of hundred years, that hierarchy had been born and there were bishops. And all of the bishops came together to hammer this out. And what they decided was, Jesus absolutely was divine in nature. And that's how this whole thing got started. Well, but if that's the case, why would God allow himself to be crucified? And it would be something that God would have had to have allowed because he was God. And so it really begs the issue of why. And from there, a leap was made and a conclusion was arrived at, possibly with a little help from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, that Jesus had died for our sins. I really want to make one thing perfectly clear. To anybody who really might hold this belief, I absolutely honor and respect that. And if this is something that brings you peace and comfort and meaning in your life, then by all means, you should embrace it. The problem that I have with it is that it doesn't allow for an active participation by the Messiah in our daily lives, in the world around us, and within. So this morning, I want to take you on perhaps a different interpretation of what it means to view Jesus as the Messiah. And to do that, again, we have to go back, review a little bit of what we've been talking about the past 4 or 5 weeks and the building up of all of the dimensions of Jesus when we spoke about Jesus the healer and Jesus the Jew and Jesus the rabbi. And last week, if you recall, we talked about Jesus the zealot. And at that time, we pointed out that at the time of Jesus, the Jews were under the thumb of the Romans. They really were an occupied people. But the truth is that the Romans were really last on the list of all kinds of people that had conquered and dominated the Jews and subjected them to captivity and exile throughout their history. In addition to this, for a long portion of their history, the Jews were nomads, and they were constantly seeking that promised land. And this is something that went back to an early promise that had been made a couple thousand years earlier to Abraham, that you will have descendants more numerous than the stars in the heavens and land as far as the eye can see in all directions. There were times in the Jewish history where they did manage to set up and establish kingdoms, and some of them would last for a significant period of time. But eventually, somebody would come in and invade them, and their kingdoms would crumble and fall. But whenever this happened, a prophet would arise. And the prophet would deliver three messages. The first is that they would be openly critical of the Jews for their behavior and say, look, the reason that you're dealing with all of this garbage in your lives right now is because you didn't live up to the covenant. They would also be critical of the conquering people, not because they conquered the Jews, but because of their own godless lifestyle. And the last thing that they would communicate that was so very important, they would send a message of hope. That as bad as things are, there's a new day ahead. God still recognizes you as his chosen people, and somebody will come along to save the day. All of these things that the prophets did and said were important, but it's that last one, that a new day will dawn, which brought rise to the whole concept of the Messiah. And this is really interesting because at the time of Jesus then, keep in mind that the Jews were meticulous in their education and training. And so young Jews at a very early age would be told about the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And they would build up this anticipation, this expectation in the hearts and minds of every Jew. And it's something that went back all the way to the time of those prophets. And it's the expectation of the Messiah would go back as far as 600 or 700 years in Jewish history. And then Jesus came along. And whatever Jesus was, he didn't exactly fit the picture of what might be expected for a Messiah. He didn't ride in on a white horse, and he didn't wear armor, and he didn't carry a big sword. He was the son of a carpenter. Not exactly your typical war hero. And the reason that this is so important is that all of us in our own lives from time to time get an idea into our head, an expectation of what something is supposed to look like and how it's supposed to lay out, that when at long last it comes along, we often fail to even realize that what we wanted has been right in front of our noses the whole time. Did you ever watch the TV show House Hunters? No? Nobody? I know my wife does. The way every show starts off, it features a couple who is looking to buy a new house. And the couples specify individually what exactly they expect to find in a house, what they think that house should look like, and all of the characteristics that that house has to have in order for them to be happy. And I really enjoy watching the show. Half the time I get aggravated because they pick the wrong house as far as I'm concerned. But the point is, they walk into the situation with such a preconceived idea of what it's got to be that they have to end up sacrificing and compromising their dream to a certain extent. Sometimes we were looking for something and it really is right under our nose. Susan occasionally has a pet name for me. She calls me Mo, which is short for Mr. Observant. And she means it quite sarcastically, because I have trouble at times seeing what I'm looking for right in front of my nose. And one time we were out at a store and I was searching the shelf for something and I couldn't find it. And I asked the store clerk, "Hey, where is this?" And she says, "It's right over there in that aisle right there." And I said, "Well, I was just in that aisle and I didn't see it." And Susan cracked up as the store clerk said, "Well, that's because you're looking for it with your man eyes." And she walked right over, pointed it out, and was right exactly where she said, and right exactly where I had spent 5 minutes of my life scanning and looking for it. This is pretty much what the gospel stories are telling us that the Jews did. The Gospel of Mark was specifically directed and written for a Jewish audience. And he really sends the message that you've been waiting hundreds of years for a Messiah. And then Jesus comes along and it's what you've been looking for and more. And you failed to recognize it. The Gospel of Matthew also is directed toward a Jewish audience, but he amps it up quite a bit. You know, at the beginning of the Gospel, he goes through this whole genealogy to substantiate, to verify that Jesus came from the house of David. And there are all of these other prophecies that were fulfilled. And again, you didn't recognize what was right under your nose the whole time. Well, here we are in 2019, and we're not exactly looking for the Messiah. But if we're honest, we are all kind of looking for a hero to come along. Somebody that will get us out from all of the problems that life brings to us. Somebody or something that can heal us. Somebody or something that can make the hurt, that can make the pain in our lives go away. And again, we sometimes have this staunch picture in our heads of what this is supposed to look like, that we fail to take advantage of what is in front of us the whole time. We do this all the time in different parts of our lives. How many times do we check out of a relationship because it didn't exactly go as planned? You know, we feel let down or disappointed because somebody didn't live up to our expectations. And maybe if we were able to liberate ourselves and put some of those expectations aside, we might find something that was way more beautiful and powerful and joy-fulfilling and glorious than we ever could have imagined. We are disappointed with our jobs. We are frustrated by our ongoing financial worries. We are tired of worrying about things. We worry about our houses. We worry about our cars. We worry about our relationships. We worry about our kids. We worry about our parents. And we just long for some relief. Have you ever thrown out that prayer in just pure exasperation? Oh, Lord, please, somebody come and take me away from all of this. And the whole time, the Messiah is right there in front of us. And all the time, the kingdom is right there in front of us. But just like the Jews, it wasn't the kingdom exactly as we have envisioned it. And because the world is relentless at trying to teach us what we need to do to be cured and what we need to do to feel good about ourselves, it sometimes is so incredibly tough to recognize the Messiah. And it could be so tough to recognize that Christ light that is absolutely everywhere we go and absolutely in everyone that we meet. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah because he introduced a new consciousness, a new awareness into the world. Jesus didn't need to get the people out from under the thumbs of the Romans because the people really were never under the thumb of the Romans. And the message that he delivered was, if you really want to be rid of the Romans or anything else that's bothering you in your life, all that you need to do is to embrace spirit. Or what Jesus really referred to as the Father. You really had to take the concept that you are, each and every one of you, a beloved child of that Father. You really had to take the concept, not just in your heads, but in your hearts, that you truly are the chosen people. And all that you have to do then is say yes to it. The kingdom that Jesus was suggesting is not one that is established or dominates through the use of force. It's a kingdom that is open, a kingdom that we are free to enter into and dwell anytime that we want and stay as long as we like. It's a kingdom that we are free to leave, as we sometimes are prone to do, even after we experience it a little bit. And that's because it's a kingdom without walls, and it's a kingdom without walls because it's based in your own heart. And we are free to come and go as we please. I truly believe that Jesus' mission, that Jesus' purpose here was to show us what the kingdom and becoming the Messiah was all about. And I don't think that it was a case of overcoming your humanity. I think Jesus was the Messiah because he demonstrated, he illustrated to us that it's all about elevating your humanity up to a point where there's no longer a distinction or a difference between your humanity and who you are spiritually. Our expectations, things that we have set up and things that people have set up for us throughout our lives of what we should be looking for, tend to get in the way of all of this. and we get frustrated in our lives, and we do other things to try to find answers. We buy a lottery ticket. We spend hours dulling our minds in front of the boob tube, or we say yes to our addictions and our habits. And all of these things are nothing more than temporary band-aids at best. And if you're like most of us are, you'll notice that, geez, it just seems there's not a whole lot of time of peace and warmth. And it's because we're always chasing the rainbow, always looking to follow the leprechaun that will take us to that pot of gold. And all of the time, the answers are within your own heart. So I just ask you to dwell on a question. Who and what is your Messiah? And if you look in the mirror, you really ought to start to see some strong resemblance between who and what your Messiah is and who and what you really are. Sign on to the messianic message. Celebrate your humanity. Don't settle. We speak and preach, you know, the Christ light and the Christ essence that is part of each and every one of us. The message Jesus delivered is, it's not a pipe dream. It's what you've been looking for your entire life.